From the top of the charts to the dusty $1 bin and everything in between, it's time for another review on Life to Labyrinth.
Happy distraction, I'm definitely here for. I could definitely use one of those.
Everybody needs one of those.
Mm-hmm. We will bring it.
It's being brought.
Awesome. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Life to Labyrinth podcast. My name is Bryn.
I'm Angie.
I'm Emily.
And last week, or last episode, I guess, our high We're Still Alive episode, we didn't end that with knowing what album we were going to listen to while we were recording. And we decided after the fact to listen to an album that is celebrating its 25th anniversary, which is just another reminder on this podcast that we're getting old.
Yeah.
And that is the album Moon Safari by the French band called Air. This is from 1998. And this is an album that we all, I think, know fairly well ahead of time. So this is sort of like revisiting an old friend, I think, for all of us. Why don't you guys take it away?
Well, I'm curious to know how you first heard of Air, because I think the only reason I know about Air is because of you.
Oh, okay. Sure. So I was introduced to Air by Renee. And I was introduced to them through not this album. Let me find the album. I believe it's Talkie Walkie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That was the album I was introduced to them through. And I don't know why I can't find it. There it is. So that, yeah, the 2004 album Talkie Walkie, Renee told me to listen to a song called Run.
Yeah.
Which I think is maybe still my favorite song of theirs. Because yeah. I sort of think of Air as what... like if aliens heard ambient electronic music and tried to recreate it.
Space pop.
I feel like Air, to me, to listen to them, and I'll admit I haven't listened to their entire discography, but from what I've heard, it feels very much like it's almost like it's from another dimension, or, you know, it's sort of like Nemo's Dreamscapes, where it feels like the production makes it feel like it's just over there. Mm-hmm. It's not really present to what you're listening to. It's like in the other room, or you're half asleep and it's on and you're not like, and so I think that's part of the reason I fell in love with it. It's just so atmospheric. But that's how I discovered Air. It's Renee's fault. And I was introduced to them through the song Run. And then I think, I mean, this would have been back in like, 2004, 2005 was when I first met her, which is maybe why she had heard it, because Run came out on an album that, as I said, was released in 2004. So I don't know where she heard it from, because it would have been before I met her. But that's where I heard it from.
And that timing tracks, because isn't that when you and I were driving into... I was going to Carleton and you were working? Weren't we driving at that time?
Yeah, we must have been.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I was like, hey, check out 07's the best. And you were like, oh... what about Air? And I'm pretty sure that's how it came about.
Yeah, I think you and I were doing that drive, that like commute to school or whatever it was. I think that was maybe like 2005, 2006.
Anyways, I'm pretty sure you introduced me to this band. So Emily, how did you come across Air?
Lost in Translation, which has the song also off Talkie Walkie, Alone in Kyoto. Mm-hmm. That song plays when ScarJo's on a train to Kyoto, and it's such a simple, like, scene, like, nothing really crazy happens in it, but the song makes you feel a certain type of way, and so I kind of, like, latched onto that and then started listening to them a little bit more. So it certainly wasn't this album that I knew of first, and I haven't listened to it in ages. Like, the second, I'm sure we'll get into it, but I was like, actually, I've heard of Air well before that, because of Sexy Boy in 10 Things I Hate About You on that soundtrack.
Oh, I didn't know it was on that.
Yeah, so I had listened to Air well before I knew what Air was.
Yeah, it's. I think it's cool when you come to a band that way, where you're watching a movie and all of a sudden you're just like, holy shit. Like, it almost takes you out of the movie and you're like, need to know more. And there, I find Air is like ultimate movie music. Like, totally. So much. And you can see that they've done that. Like, they've done soundtracks for Sofia Coppola movies and things like that. But it makes so much sense. It's, like Brid was saying, backgroundy, but really otherworldly. And yeah, that's a cool way to come across a band where you're like, stop everything, I'm googling this.
yeah and it happened recently again. It was sometime during COVID, but when it wasn't so COVID-y. I don't know if they've done this in Alberta, but here in Ottawa they did like an immersive sort of art installation with Van Gogh paintings. They did it at Lansdowne a couple of years ago, and like you just stand in this room and it's a bunch of screens and all of Van Gogh's paintings come alive and they all move around and do crazy things, and it's to music. And when Starry Night started to kind of piece together, it was, again, they used the song Alone in Kyoto, and it just like, it was so powerful and just like so almost moving, if I had a lot of emotion, maybe.
Almost made me feel emotions. That's almost. Pretty good. Yeah.
Almost. I would say, like,
are you becoming me?
No, never. No. I've become soft in motherhood, but not. I still have an edge. No, it's just like,
I'm a cool mom.
So cool. It's just one of those songs, like, if it's put in space, it like, it gives you the chills. Like, it's just like so cool. I don't know.
It makes you want to make a movie so you can just soundtrack it. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And I would say previous to, like, I came across it at the perfect time because I had just come back from England, where I like my crusty exterior of, you know, alt rock, metal only, whatever facade had been broken down a little with dance music and drugs and alcohol. And yeah, it was kind of on the heels of listening to like More Chiba and Massive Attack and Zero Seven. And I feel like those were like definitely gateway drugs to Air.
For sure.
Back when we coined the term Relaxtronica.
Relaxtronica. That kept coming up in my head the whole time. I'm like, how is this? Do I need to contact a copywriter? Because I think this just explains exactly what it is. Relaxtronica. What I will be famous for one day.
Yes.
TM.
Trademark Moist Girl.
Moist Gal? Excuse me? Okay.
Ew. Sorry.
I know.
Somehow what I said was far worse. This is why I can't be cool. Moist Gal, you can get away with that because it's like, I'm just a gal.
I'm just a gal, but it's like Moist Girl and you're in...
Moist Girl. It's like,
in a porn. Yeah.
Who invited you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Bad. But I agree with you, Bryn. I think Run is like, that song is wildly good and possibly still my favorite. And I haven't listened to, I'm wondering why I haven't listened to the whole discography, because I feel like we listen to several songs over and over again, and that always pisses me off that I will listen to the same three songs on an album for years and then be like, oh my god, there's an album attached to it. There's other songs. Why did I never think of, you know, perusing more? But I have listened to more than I thought. But it's so silly. It's like, get in, tuck in, discover it all.
Several albums.
A lot more than I thought. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I own three of them. This is a band that I mean, going back to when we were listening to them in the early aughts, I actually own three of these albums on compact disc.
Nice.
I own this one, Moon Safari. I own Talkie Walkie, and I own Pocket Symphony.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't hum any of the songs on Pocket Symphony for you. So, again, this is a bit in the Wayback Machine for me. I don't think I revisit Moon Safari periodically, but I don't think I've revisit any of the other ones anywhere near as often.
Yeah.
I think they kind of hit it out of the park with Moon Safari.
Yeah, no kidding.
Should we do what we often do and talk a little bit about the history of the album when it was recorded? And should we do some of the hard facts at this point? The Wikipedia.
Do you have the hard facts?
I've got a few.
Okay.
All right.
You have to do it in a French accent, though.
No.
Angie? No.
I do love that they said in some interviews that AIR stands for Amour, Imagination et Rêve. And then afterwards they're like, no, someone just told us that and we thought it was cool, but that was not the case. I mean, like, just take it, man. Go for it.
Yeah. For those of you who are not Canadian, that means love, imagination, and dreams.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you feel.
I think that's really funny that they basically were like, no, but we wish we thought of
it. Yeah, just say yes, friends. Just take it and run.
Stone it. So anyway, acronym or not, the band AIR is a French music duo from Versailles, where there was a treaty signed.
There's a room of mirrors.
For the history of
Or a hall of mirrors, I think.
Yes, there was a train there at one time. And it has two members, although I can speak French to a certain degree. I'm not good with the accent. Nicolas Gaudin, Jean-Benoit Dunkel? Dunkel?
Dunkel. Who knows?
It's got to be. I'm so sorry. I love your band if you're listening. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to get this far, Jean-Benoit Dunkel.
Dunkel.
Like, if it's the K that's screwing me up.
It's a hard K.
Yeah.
If there was no K, it'd just be Duncel. And if it was an L-E, it'd be Dunkle. I don't know. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I don't know.
You could be right. You could be right. Unless he has a very Anglophone name for some reason.
Yeah, his father could be English or something, you know?
I don't know.
Anyway, pronunciation or not, they've been the only members for the whole band history. They were formed in 1995, and although they haven't put out an album, from best as I can determine, since about 2014, they did a soundtrack for something called Music for Museum. Or I guess they had a compilation album come out in 2016, but I don't think a compilation album counts. Mm. But technically they still exist. I don't know if they're touring. I'm not sure. Did anybody find out if, like, how active they actually are?
There was an article called, the title was After 20 Years, Gaudin and a Dunkel's Journey into Space is Over. And I was reading the article and it didn't seem like they kind of announced that, but it was hinting at everything felt past tense. So I suspect they are no longer touring.
Did you say what year it was, or did I just imagine that? Okay, sorry.
Oh, I didn't.
Okay. No,
I have no idea what year it was.
I think Bryn said 2016, and then I got that in my brain, and then...
well, it says after 20 years, so whenever they started, plus 20 years. Like, I can take...
The most activity I've seen of them has been on social media celebrating this album's 25th anniversary. There's a whole story about it on their website. I encourage you, if you are interested in this band or interested in this album and like music history, to go and read.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff to read.
Yeah, it's just airfrenchband.com. They have Moon Safari at 25. And yeah, just like talking about how, like, they were two students of astrophysics and architecture, walk into a bar on the moon. Like, it's such a neat thing. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're interested, it's a one pager. I mean, it's two columns. So somebody's good at Word.
And also, what a fun band to Google.
Nice.
Now, like, it's... So funny.
I know.
Funny.
AIR band. AIR. I was like
AIR Canada.
So stupid.
AIR the movie.
Yeah.
No, like, I just want AIR the band, not AIR band. AIR French band.
AIR French band. AIR French band. Yeah, that's what I kept Googling. I'm like, okay, here we go.
It's like back in the day trying to download the band live on, like, Napster.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Another band worth revisiting.
Yeah.
We were all tricked into not thinking they were a Christian band.
They're a Christian band?
Oh, yeah. I find I didn't know that.
I mean, I think they're from a time when a lot of bands were claiming to not be Christian bands, but they were doing a heck of a lot of singing about God and Christianity. Looking at you, POD.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew. Yeah. I find they're also not, I know I'm 800 years old and I listen to like classic radio all the time, but they're kind of one of those bands that doesn't come up very often, which surprises me because every other band that we grew up with is like ripe for classic rock right now, which is rude. But yeah, it's there. I don't know. They kind of slithered away. Anyways, sorry. Back to air. Go on with your teachings.
Oh, okay.
Or if that was it, we can move on. No pressure.
We started before we hit record. I was like, guys, I need you to hold.
We're like, no.
The heavy lifting on this one. You're like, feel free to continue, Bryn.
Well, you suggested it, so my assumption is all you're right. Doing the thing. So I don't have anything like of the history prepared.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'm just cheating and going right off the
Wikipedia. Okay, that's cool. Then we can move on.
This isn't a deep dive. So I guess we could say their formation, like I said, they studied architecture at some very official sounding school in Versailles, very French. And I'm sorry, I'm just not going to give it a go.
It's okay.
and that was Nicolas. And then Jean Benoit studied mathematics and they formed the band in 95. Before founding Air, they played in another band called Orange, or I guess it'd be Orange.
Very nice, very nice.
Thank you. 5 years of French immersion, people.
Yeah. Worth it. Just kidding.
Worth it. And then apparently, initially, Godin was working alone before released his first entirely. I don't know. I should have read this ahead of time. Let's just bail out right now.
Yeah, that's great. That was a good little synopsis. Versailles is now known for more than one thing. That's great. That's good.
The treaty and the band.
Air French band.
Possible.
I didn't even know people could be from Versailles. That's how silly I am.
I know. Don't you think it's like, I know. You hear it and you're like, what? Humans live there?
I've been there to the Palace of Versailles and I just assumed that was all that was there.
That is here. That is it.
Because it's huge. Except for the little stable where Air was created.
Maybe it has its own area code. Who knows?
Yeah. So I still had Wikipedia open. So as of 2019, Versailles had a population of 84,000.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Yeah, people live there.
Cool.
That's cool. Shout out to Versailles.
Shout out to Versailles. If you're from Versailles, hit us up. And make fun of us for not researching this band properly. And your lovely town or city or ville.
I will say something about the album, though, and this could just be my ADD, but I find the front half of the album better than the second half. And I kind of feel like this album is a drug trip where, like, at the beginning, you're, like, coming up and you're like, this is amazing. This is the fucking wackiest shit ever. And then somewhere in the middle, there's one of the songs, the Remember Me song, I hate. I can't. It's, I mean, I can. Remember, I will. Remember. Yeah, that auto-tune.
Remember.
Yes. I feel like I'm stuck in a Relaxtronica elevator that I can't get out of. It's like a horror movie a little bit. But, and then you're like, oh my God, no, am I coming down? Have I peaked? And then I kind of feel like the rest of the album is like, yeah, we're on the come down. Which I think is perfect because in that interview, they talk about how you just need to take new drugs and come up with new songs. So it sounds accurate. Also, did anyone watch the music video for Run?
No.
For Run, no. I think I've seen it before, but I didn't watch it as part of the...
Please don't.
As this.
Don't?
It, do not? No, it's someone with a handheld camcorder and...
Oh, no.
It's like someone made this in a dorm room when they were 15. It's actually hysterical. Unless this... Yeah, no, this was attached to the article. It's grade A bad. Okay, I'm done. Carry on. Sorry. Go ahead, Emily.
I agree with you regarding the ADD. I'm certainly struggling with my attention span these days. I blame it on the song After Remember.
Yes. Yep.
You Make It Easy.
You Make It Easy.
I cannot. I don't know what it is with that song. I like the girl Beth Hirsch in the third song.
Yes, but in that song, her vibrato is bad.
Awful, awful, awful.
She's pushing it. I know. I agreed.
Like, the airiness in All I Need is perfect. Like, chef's kiss. Yeah. Massive Attack, like whatever they do with their female people in Massive Attack.
Glad you said that, not you.
However they produce.
How the vaginas sing in the other band. It's real good. And whatever they were doing, they should do it like that.
These females want to be people.
Oh, boy. No, but I completely agree with you. That's why I was like, man, this feels like a drug trip. Like, you're coming up and you're like, I've never heard anything like this. This is so crazy. This is mind blowing. And then there's these two songs for me where I'm like, and then it kind of afterwards, you're like, okay, I think I really enjoyed the first few songs. I mean, it's all really cool, but yeah, it can be long. Especially, I find songs when there's not a lot of vocals in it. Like, you're like, oh my god, is this song still going on? Amazing. Okay, I blacked out.
Angie, you had talked about bringing back the songbird portion of our episodes, and you make it easy for me.
Ding, ding, ding.
For those of you who haven't listened to our old episodes, the songbird is something that Steven and I talked about ages and ages and ages ago, which is like the song that rips you out of the flow of the album.
Yeah, I would say Remember starts pulling me out, and then You Take It Easy is like, no, I'm out.
You Make It Easy for me rips me out of it because it feels like the production changes.
Yeah.
I feel like I was saying, the whole thing feels like it's over there, and then You Make It Easy is here.
Yeah.
And the vocals are just off-putting. I don't know. Like, they're not, they don't feel professionally sung, but you know she can sing because she's in the other song.
It's giving those, like, singer-songwriter vibes that I really struggle to like in that song. And I don't know why they did that, because they were doing so well. Because I listened to the three songs after that song just alone.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, and I'm like, these are great.
Yeah.
But I missed them the first like five times I listened to the album all the way through because I shut down.
Yeah.
Big time.
Agreed.
You know what You Make It Easy sounds like and reminds me of? Is it reminds me of a really jarring credit song over a movie. It feels like a song that they play over the credits on like a James Cameron movie that in absolutely no way reflects the tone of the film.
Oh my god. Yes. I just experienced this. I went to see my first movie in like what feels like 10 years in a movie theater. I mean, I'd already seen it, but I wanted to see it in the theater. Wanted to see Top Gun 2. It was a big deal, even though I hate Tom Cruise. Okay. I mean, I love him, hate him, Scientology. Anyways. And I have a unfortunate hatred for Lady Gaga because I don't like her voice. I feel like she's yelling at me the whole time. And this movie, which, you know, has all the classics like fucking Danger Zone and like it's so awesome. And then the credits roll and fucking Lady Gaga starts screaming at you. And you're like, oh my God, I didn't even like, why didn't they play Danger Zone again? For fuck's sakes. Like, everyone's here to hear that over and over again. I will tell you though, they started playing Highway to the Danger Zone and I was with Katie Gahuli, who you know. We started laughing so hard, we almost had to leave the theater. I don't know what it was. We were so giddy, but we were hysterical and we both were trying not to look at each other because we were crying so hard. We were laughing.
I could see that. It's just so spot on.
It's just, we were waiting for it the whole time and then all of a sudden it's like, din, 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 din. We're like, ah!
It feels like that song is almost like a cultural joke at this point, in the sense that like how it's used in Archer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I feel about it that
danger
way,
zone.
Where it's just like, danger zone. But to stick it in a movie where it needs to be taken seriously,
but
in the way that it was in the 80s, it just, that I think I could see how you guys would, especially you two, I could see how you would
just
like lose all grasp on your
I almost thought we were going to have to leave. And then I was immediately taken back to like grade 5, where we had to sit on separate sides of the classroom because we wouldn't stop laughing. We were just making calls. Anyways, but I haven't experienced that in a long time. And that's exactly what happened in that movie. All of a sudden, Lady Gaga, it's so jarring. It so takes you out of that like you know, vintage vibe of Top Gun, and you're like, oh, who the fuck is this lady screaming at me? It was so jarring. So I understand what you're saying completely.
Yeah. I think if they wanted it for the album, because maybe they had, you know, first album, they were young, maybe they had a lesser number of songs, or maybe because it was an involvement with Beth Hirsch. Maybe there was an agreement, or maybe they just genuinely like the song. I feel like maybe if they'd stuck it at the end of the album, then you would have had your whole package of like everything, and then You Make It Easy would have just kind of been at the end if you wanted to listen
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, you just wanted to hide it. Yeah,
scared. I don't know where You Make It Easy would fall on a vinyl. I wonder if that would be song one of Sight.
Yeah. It's either one or two.
Yeah. The first song is quite long, isn't it? Like six.
Yeah, it
long?
Would probably be two. But yeah, it's you're right. It would be off-putting.
I'll see if I can find it. I know they've released the album on vinyl.
You're like, oh, sorry. I thought I was listening to Air, not Beth Hirsch. Like, what's...
Yeah.
What's...
Not this vagina. Yell at me.
So side B starts with Talisman. So You Make It Easy is song three on side two.
Perfect.
Just very, very odd.
Why don't they just take it out?
It's been 25 years. Get rid of it.
Just pay her money and get rid of it. Put All I Need on twice. Do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Beth.
That'd be fine.
The other thing I was curious about, which is in my list of questions, is... when you see this band live, and I am talking about paying today's prices to see them live.
I think the answer is no for absolutely anyone, but my answer is still no.
I wouldn't pay today's prices to see anybody.
Exactly.
There are no human beings alive today making music that would make me pay the cost of tickets to see them. I was desperate to see Slipknot. I was desperate to see Alanis Morissette. There was a few other people that were here over the summer, and I'm sorry, I'm just absolutely not.
I know, for 2 hours.
They're not all crazy in Ottawa. Like, there's still people playing at like Algonquin College, and it's like not crazy expensive. But I was going to say a hard no, because I've seen DJs before. Like, I've seen Benny Benassi in Ottawa, and you just start like watching some guy spin. But I... and it's like, this is stupid. I mean, it's a party, who cares? But then I looked at their live show, and it's much more engaging, and like band, like it feels like Alt-J, like they have their, you know, their places, and there's light show. I mean, I would have to, I don't think I could do it sober, because the songs are long. I think it would be a lot more fun with some party favors, but I think the prices would be outrageous, and I think, you know, you'd hear your two songs and maybe be like, okay, oh my God, I'm exhausted. Is she singing again? But I don't know. I would consider
it. Come back for an encore and it's You Make It Easy.
Yeah.
Start throwing things.
I would consider it.
I watched their live performance at the Sydney Opera House. I also love how they always dress in white. I think that's very cool. Very French.
Very Freddie
Mercury. Or they're in a cult. Like, I mean,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, that's right up your street.
Yes.
What I would pay to see, though, is something along those lines of that, like, immersive, like, visual, whatever experience. Like, the band doesn't need to be there, but you can use the band's music and, like, do some crazy weird, I don't know, light show.
So you would
projection.
See this band as a Laser Floyd.
Well, I accidentally production. Saw it at the Van Gogh thing that I saw, and I thought it was very cool. Okay. So I'm not opposed to it for $20.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I could. I feel my attention span is just so bad. I can't even imagine going to a concert right now. I feel like so old. Oh God.
I feel like a lot of these artists, like Cigarettes After Sex, these guys, 07, as much as I feel like on the surface I'd love to see them live, I think sitting, in like an auditorium or whatever, I think it would get boring.
No, I have a rule where I will not sit down at concerts anymore. If there's not a place for me to stand and sway and dance, it's not a concert. I'm not having it. I won't do NAC shit anymore. It's a no.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's like, they don't have any upbeat songs. Like, if you're going to see album performed in entirety, because they're like, if they were touring as a 25th anniversary, doing this whole album in entirety, as some bands do, the upbeat song is what, Sexy Boy, and then what?
Can't yeah, that's what stars, I'm saying.
Like, get up and dance too.
You would need some drugs, is I think exactly what I said.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm not much of a drug person, so I think I'd rather do what Emily suggested and go see this music presented as some kind of visual and auditory experience. Mm-hmm.
Like they're so artsy fartsy. Yeah, they could come up with something cool. I don't know.
Did you guys watch, Angie, maybe you did. Did you watch James May, Our Man in Japan?
Some of it.
Did you see the episode where he goes to that interactive art gallery?
No.
And it, oh my God. It was amazing.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Check it out. Emily, if you have Amazon Prime, check it out as well.
Writing it down.
I'll find the episode name and then I'll just send it to you guys so you can watch it specifically. I would go and see Air in a situation like that, because that was such a cool immersive experience.
Okay, so can we? So are we not going to have that question every time? Because you guys are just going to say no to every band.
No. I think if we couch it that, you know, if it wasn't $1 million to go see them.
Okay. So like, just
the
are they on
is
your
still
list?
No. The answer is still no.
Okay. I would definitely pay to go see 07 because I've listened to them so much, and I feel like they were a really big deal for me. So I would pay big monies to go hang out with 07.
Yes.
More so than Air.
Mm-hmm. I would go see 07, but I've watched live footage of them, and I think they're more of like a proper band. Would you see 07 without Sia?
I mean, does Sia even tour with them? I assume she didn't.
No.
I paid to go see Sia and then last minute given my tickets away to someone else. It was a long story. But I paid for tickets in New York City to go see Radiohead and Sia. And then the night before, totally freaked out and gave them to my friend because I thought he would want to go more than I would. Good person. Anyways, I would assume... Yeah, I know. Radiohead, right? So stupid. I would assume Sia's not touring with them, and I think I would probably still go see them.
Okay.
Bucket list.
Not that we're talking about 07.
I know, but they go hand in hand for me.
They do. I found it, by the way.
Oh, the show?
It's called Borderless. I'm going to send it to you guys.
Thank you.
It's insane.
I feel like I watched half of it, and I don't know what happened. I just was missing Jeremy Clarkson, I think.
He's got a second season of his farm show.
Oh my God, I've already watched it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. One of the things that I did notice from the live, I only watched one live set of theirs, the one in Australia, but that was
me too.
That was in 2017, and they're still closing out their show with Sexy Boy and the first song on this album,
La Femme d'Argent.
Oui.
Yeah.
Oui. Yeah.
Well, it's the same with like Alanis. She'll forever be doing mostly Jagged Little Pill, I think.
Was that her first album, though?
No.
Okay. Like, I think, like, this was their very first album. Like, what a freaking
Totally. Knocked
it
out.
Can you imagine? You could have just done that and walked away.
And they're fucking smart. Like, they could have also become, like, mathematicians. What a...
Yeah, exactly.
The world didn't need another mathematician. They needed Air. Yeah.
I just think, like, that's so cool. Like, what a thing to accomplish, and then playing that music.
So that style of concert is what Alt-J does. They don't leave their little spots and they play their instruments, and then there's a wild light show behind them.
Their little stations.
Yeah, their little musical stations. I know, it's kind of hysterical.
Yeah.
And then there's just...
I think on a stage it's called Places.
Oh, all right.
Places, people, places.
Places. No, I think it's Musical Bubble. I'm just kidding.
Pardon
no,
me.
No, I'm joking.
Pardon
I have no
me.
Fucking idea. Okay, great. What else do we need to say? But I've hit what I need to say. Oh, yeah. The beginning of Sexy Boy always makes me think of Bon Jovi, which is highly irritating.
Oh, no.
Because...
Well, now I'll never not.
Yep, sorry. There you go. There you go. Dee dee dee.
Rude.
Yeah, ruined. Do you guys ever, have you ever listened to Boards of Canada?
Yes.
Yeah, they remind me of them a little bit too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
One of the things you wanted to touch on, Angie, was the very first thing on your list was, what did you like about the album? Because we've railed against You Make It Easy. But what did we like about it?
Well, I think we hit that at the beginning, that it was just like otherworldly. And for me, it was like borderline stuff I'd never heard before. And I was just kind of entering that genre. But I love music where when the first time you hear it, you're like, I've never heard anything like that. Like that is, you know, that is so special and different and kooky. You know, that always is a big draw for me. So what I like about it is there's lots of bands now like that I've discovered that sound kind of like them. But at the time for me, it was like, whoa, this is cool. And it was, I don't know, maybe right time, right place, but just super unique sounding for me.
I agree with that. I think this is also like, minus that one song, I think this is like the perfect like dinner music. Like you throw that on, I mean, everybody's gonna leave when you Make It Easy comes on, but it's just, it's great in the background. Bryn, you mentioned from the start, like it's kind of over there, so it's not in your face. I mean, when Kelly Watch the Stars comes on, you hope that you've had a couple glasses of wine.
that's another, yeah. Yeah, it's like mostly, if you're going to make like a fuck tape, you'd put most of this album on it.
For sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I feel like, whatever. I'm not going to get into that. Go ahead.
You definitely keep Remember on there as the last one. Remember?
No. God, the worst.
It's like, that's the closing time. Yeah. You're trying to get her.
Yeah. Oh boy. That would take me out. Anyways.
Well, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick.
Remember.
Maybe get out of here.
And I think we well covered what we didn't like about the album. I think we've hit those.
It all seems to just, yeah, it's just a funnel that just dumps right onto You Make It Easy.
Yeah, poor Beth.
Hey, she's got a song, two songs on an album that I would say holds up very well all these years later.
Yeah.
I have exactly zero on any album, so. Mm-hmm. Far be it from me to shit on her too badly, but for my taste, I think if it was on a different album, it'd be fine, or if it was on a different place in this album, it would be fine. It just doesn't fit where it is, at least doesn't fit where it is. Or they needed to produce it differently, or maybe have her go for another take on the vocals. I don't know. Let's not beat it.
Yeah, we're and scene.
All right. Let's bail out. I bailed out earlier. We'll bail out again.
Sweet.
Did we do it?
We did it.
Nice little pocket episode, 41 minutes.
I think they should be this length anyways, to be honest.
That's fine.
We can talk a lot of bullshit about some stuff.
We didn't even tangent that much.
Yeah, it was good. I knew I'd say 07 at least 7 times, but you know, whatever. What the fuck?
Should we listen to 07 next week?
Or? Fuck. Well, it's too similar, I think. Have we not done 07?
No. We haven't.
Oh boy. I don't remember actually anything we've done, I realized today.
07 may be the single most discussed artist that we've ever had on the podcast that we've actually never done.
Yeah, it's a disability for me to keep bringing it up. It's pretty dumb.
it's Tourette's. It's fine.
It is Tourette's. Point,
if you like our podcast and you haven't bothered to check out 07,
what the fuck?
Us doing an episode on them is really going to make a difference.
There's a podcast about this podcast about 07.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where we're at.
I had a really wonky suggestion for an album to listen to if people are up for it.
Hell yeah, I'll do wonky.
Well, she's been in the media a lot because she's got a new album coming out, and I just keep hearing about her and listening to interviews and seeing her friendly fucking Canadian face, and I think we should listen to the new Shania Twain album.
No.
Oh my God.
Yes, we're doing it. I
have not listened to it. I have not listened to it. Obviously, I know her back catalog a little bit, but I haven't heard it. And I think we should fucking do it.
Oh boy.
I mean, I'm not going to say no. I made you guys listen to weirder shit than Shania Twain.
Yes, you have. And I agree with that statement. Okay, well, if you're up for it.
What's the album called?
Fucking no. Hold on.
Oh dear.
Hold on. I think it's like Queen of Me or something. It's called Queen of Me. Yeah.
Stop.
Queen
it.
Of Me. All right.
Stop.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're drinking to this next episode.
Yes. Okay.
Are we drinking next episode? I mean, I'll do it. I have more flexibility to do that than you guys.
Yeah,
do.
No kidding.
I'm good. I'm fine.
Like, this is my third Everclear. I was drinking Everclear at Christmas.
I don't know what that is. Do I know what that is?
Wow.
It's grain alcohol. It's 95%.
Oh, wow. Jesus. That's why I don't know what that is.
I was making Riot juice, which is Everclear, blue curacao, and pineapple juice.
What are you, 14?
I would 100% die.
It was so good.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, but it was one of those things that, as a Christmas time, here's our tangent. At Christmas time, because my son is turning 18, which is a legal drinking age in this province, and he has an interest in liquor. Like, he's talking about maybe getting a surcife, becoming a sommelier. Seems like that sort of he wants to maybe get into alcohol. And so I was like, well, let's do cocktails at Christmas, because then you can sort of try a bunch of things without being like, here's your first beer, son. Because no, that's gross. So we're doing cocktails, and I had like, I think, two or three of one that I was making, which was very just like nice and Christmassy and stuff. And I was completely sober. Like it wasn't affecting me at all. I had one Riot juice and I went to like, I can't drive anymore. Like we put a movie on, and you know when you're that kind of drunk where you just need to talk about everything you're seeing in the movie? Like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
You're simultaneously completely honed in on it to the point where you're doing running commentary, but you're absorbing none of it. So you're just confused and angry the whole time. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, yes.
Why are they doing this? So
I get this.
I immediately went to that level of drunk after one of them, and it was great. Christmas memories.
When I lived in England, the guys from South Africa always would get straight rum, like 86, you know, 180 proof stuff sent. And I 100% tried to have a drinking contest with them and ended up in the hospital. I mean, I won, motherfuckers. Anyways.
Oh, man. Emily, a drinking story to share before we sign off?
No.
Fair.
She sounded so sad.
No.
Oh
boy. That's just one out of my fucking Rolodex of sad drinking stories. Anyways.
Oh, I know. I'm not going one to one for you on drinking stories, because I'll have run out and you'd be like, all right.
Yeah, next.
So year two of drinking.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Shania Twain, Queen of Me. Let's do it.
Queen of Me.
Yeah. Let's go podcast. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
She does it with every single song. And if she doesn't with any of the songs on this album, I'm going to be upset.
Well, I encourage you guys to listen to some of her interviews, because she also has a new Netflix doc biopic out.
Oh, yeah.
Some interesting stuff. Yes. Yeah, I already watched it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, but there's some fun stuff. So the end.
All right. I have no idea how I feel about this.
I don't either. I haven't heard it. I have no idea. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, if you're still here listening to us,
God bless you.
Prattle on. Thank you. And I guess welcome back to our new episodes. We'll have another one out when I'm finished with it.
We do it. Okay.
Stay tuned. There's some coming at some point.
Yay.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Life to Labyrinth podcast. Theme music by Devin Rose. Find Devin on Bandcamp or any streaming service. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Life2Labyrinth.